Yoongi does not expect more. For Yoongi, that was the favor. Yeah. But Jimin doesn't know that!
No, his see you around was, all the obligations are fulfilled, bye.
Exactly. Like, he just wanted to spend time with Jimin.
Oh, no.
Like, he likes Jimin.
Oh, no.
Hello everyone, welcome to The Unwritten, a BTS fanfiction podcast where we talk about fanfiction ideas we once had that we were probably never right. I'm your host Anna and you can find me at The Ever Knowing on Twitter.
I'm your host Emma, you can find me at Queen Empathy on Twitter. If you'd rather follow the podcast itself, you can find it at BTS Unwritten Pod on Twitter. So before we start, we'd like to put out a general disclaimer. This podcast is not suitable for minors and definitely not safe for work, as we'll talk about sex a lot. If there are any heavy triggers, we will put those in the description, but the sex one most likely goes for every single one. As a second disclaimer, we'd like to add that this podcast includes real person for person shipping. No, we don't think Yoongi is an Omega that goes into heat looking to get knocked up by Jimin. So we will be talking about the BTS members and possibly other K-pop groups as fictional characters, not as the real people they are.
And with that out of the way, so what is The Unwritten? As we already said, it's a fan fiction podcast. Specifically, this means that one of us will present an idea they once had, the general setting, the ship, some scenes they imagined, and then we'll try and plot this whole thing together. We don't intend to come up with one perfect story. We might discard some ideas or have contradicting plot lines run side by side. We also don't intend to write the story then afterwards, but we might. If you feel inspired by the plot we present, you're welcome to give it a try. But please don't just write the whole story we're telling you here. Make it your own thing.
Put your own spin on it.
Yeah, like, you know, transformative works and all. And without further ado, we will move on to our first story. The following podcast includes discussions of sex, the concept of virginity, parental pressure to get married, dubious consent caused by miscommunication, excessive use of the word slut and whore, mentions of sex work, MPREG, discussions of and the possibility of domestic abuse not relating to the main pairing, as well as mentions of rape fantasies, which I will be presenting, and because it is my brand, it will be Omegaverse, but it will not be Yoongi getting knocked up by Jimin. I know, right? So I came up...
Or a shock. Everywhere.
Yeah, so I came up with the story for the Yoonmin Big Bang in, was it 2018?
I think so.
Or was it 2019? Oh god, that's years ago. And it was supposed to be like my first like alpha Yoongi fig. I mean, we're long past that. That's what it's supposed to be. So as a general explanation, it's kind of like a historical AU, but not in the way like some historical thing. It's probably most close to we're heading towards Ruin, my other fake, in terms of like a historical setting. And it's basically about Jimin, who's an Omega, and his parents have kind of fallen on hard times. Like, his father used to be a hunter, and then he got injured, and now they don't have that much money anymore, and it's time for Jimin to get mated. Because that's how you do it. So, the person he's supposed to be mating is Hoseok, and he doesn't really mind that. Like, they're friends, but in the end, he doesn't love Hoseok, but then mating is also not really about love. So it would be fine for him if it weren't for the fact that Hoseok and Taeyang are a thing.
Yay!
Which no one knows about. Yeah, because, you know, Omegas are supposed to be like these pure creatures. Like, they don't think about sex before mating, you know.
Never.
But they're doing it all the time, Hoseok and Taeyang. So, like, that ship has sailed. Jimin is like, shit, I need to do something. I don't want to, like, ruin my best friend's life. And then Taeyang is like, okay, yeah, but I'm apparently getting mated too. And Taeyang is supposed to get mated to this really old alpha who's, I think I said, like, 50 or 60. And he beat his last mate to death.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So then Jim is like, I have to do something. So he has to go to the only people who can make any decision about this, which is the council. And the council is made up of out of 5 alphas, 2 which are really old traditional ones who are not going to change their minds and like say anything on his behalf, and Namjoon and Seokjin and Yoongi.
Hey!
Well, like, you know, like they're kind of the Supreme Court of the pack. So they make these kind of decisions. And Namjoon and Seokjin, they're down with it. Like, they don't mind saying, no, you can't mate Taeyang to him, mate him to Hoseok. But Yoongi isn't. Because Yoongi and Hoseok, like, they had a super big fight a couple of months ago. No one knows why, because they used to be best friends.
Oh, wow. He's just getting his personal feelings involved now.
Yeah, apparently, but no one knows why. Interestingly, this was right about around the time that Hoseok and Jimin got engaged. Like, Yoongi and Hoseok had a falling out. Huh?
This would be where, while you were writing it, you'd be sprinkling all the hints.
Yeah, here I am. Sprinkling in the tiny hints that no one is going to see.
Yep.
Yeah. So Jimin's like, okay, I'm going to make Yoongi change his mind. And the thing is, Jimin used to be like pretty in love with Yoongi. Like when he was 14, he was like, oh, he's so amazing. And they were like, not friends, but close-ish. Like they hung out with the same group of people. But then they drifted apart because, you know, alphas and omegas aren't supposed to interact much and all that. And Yoongi then got his job as like one of the council members. And they haven't really spoken in a while. So Jimin goes to him and he's like, okay, what can I do? What can I give him? And Yoongi is like, what are you doing here? Like, he's very confused. Like, shouldn't Jimin be with Hoseok, you know, his fiance, his intended mate? And Jimin's like, yeah. This and this is the problem, and I need you to speak on behalf of Taeyang and Hoseok. And Yoongi's like, no. No, sorry, no. I don't see a reason for it. Yeah, and so Jimin is like, shit, what do I do? What do I do? And then he comes up with the amazing idea to, like, drop to his knees in between Yoongi's legs. It's like, you can do anything to me.
Oh, no.
And Yoongi just looks at him and is like, no.
But what is he really thinking in his head, though?
No, he's not thinking that in his head. But Jimin is just like, why doesn't... What's wrong with me that I can't make him do this? We all know all alphas want sex.
All the time.
Yeah, and Yoongi's just like, is this the kind of omega you have become? Because he's flustered. And like, he's not slut-shaming him, but he's just like... trying to get Jimin to see, like, this isn't who he is. Mm. Jimin's like, I'm ready to do anything. Like, you can, like, I don't know, knot my mouth or, like, I don't know what else you want to do, but you can do it. Yeah. Oh, and then Yoongi's like, okay, you're obviously very serious about this. So why, like, you owe me a favor. How about that? And I will just speak on their behalf. And, yeah. Okay, can you just leave now, please? I have something to take care of. But again, Jimin doesn't see it like that. Yeah, absolutely. Jimin's just like, okay, he's super serious and he's probably angry at me, so I'm just going to owe him a favor, which is then probably going to be like sucking his dick later when I'm not annoying him. I can do this. Like, he's not scared, but he's like a bit intimidated because he doesn't really know Yoongi anymore.
Yeah.
It's been like 5 years or something since they really hung out. So he leaves like the administrative building and tells Taeyang, but they don't tell anyone else. And then in the next couple of days, it all gets decided. And Jimin's parents are super pissed because holy shit, what are they going to do now that Jimin isn't going to mate Hoseok? And Taeyang's parents are pissed because Hoseok is not really like as high up in the hierarchy as, like, you know, that other alpha that would have killed Taeyang.
Yeah.
But,
and at least it would have been a really important match before he died.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, the way the economy works in this pack is that, like, everyone gets assigned a certain role in the hierarchy. And you have, like, rings, like, small bands that tell everyone how, like, how important you are and how much you deserve. Like, everyone has, like, a general basic, like, food supply and clothing supply and stuff. But then the more important you are, the more you get, like, the better the cut of your meat is and the more fresh fruit you get and stuff like that. And Taeyang's family isn't that well off. And, like, getting Taeyang mated to that guy would have given him, like, I don't know, like, 2 or 3 more rings. And the same goes for Jimin, because now that his sire can't, like, really contribute to the pack anymore because of his injury, they're not really that well off anymore.
Yeah,
so that's also a problem.
Well, absolutely, because then you're throwing in family loyalty, aren't you? He's throwing away something that could make his family happier, in a better position, for what seems to be something selfish.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what's more important, the well-being of your family or your own feelings?
Yeah, or your best friend who, you know, does it really matter that he's not that into the guy he's going to be mated to? It doesn't really matter.
Exactly, yeah. So,
we know than anything.
Yeah, so, like, Jimin is kind of aware how selfish he is, and Taeyang is selfish too, but also Taeyang is really in love.
Yeah.
So, it's fine for him, and Jimin's just like, shit, what am I gonna do? How am I gonna, like, support this family as, like, the only Omega son who can, like, do anything for them so that they can rise up?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's also, in the next few days, like, waiting for Yoongi to call, like, upon his favor. But nothing happens, really, so he just goes about his duties. Like, he helps in the washery, and he does errands for certain people, like, for merchants. And one of them leads him to a delivery for Yoongi at Yoongi's cabin, but he knows Yoongi is working, so he goes to the administrative building and finds Yoongi there, and Yoongi's just like, what are you doing here? Because he very much remembers what happened last time. Just like, And Jimin just brings him the delivery, and Yoongi's like, oh, okay, yeah, thank you. And then Jimin's like, so where are we supposed to, like, you know, I still owe you a favor. And Yoongi's like, oh, yeah. How about you meet me at, like, sunrise tomorrow morning at the market or something? And Jimin's like, okay, in public, at the market? Works for me, I guess.
If that's what gets you off, I guess I have to do that.
Like, okay, I can never show my face again in public, but fine.
Yeah, he's totally thought this through.
Yeah, absolutely. So then, like, they meet on the next morning and just walk around the market, and Yoongi makes Jimin carry some stuff for him and then deliver it to his house later. And Jimin's like, okay, this is way less than I expected, but I guess, yeah. And they do, like, small talk, but nothing really happens. And then when they're done, Yoongi's like, okay, yeah, see you around. Jimin's like, oh no, this was not all of the favor. Oh no, he expects more. Yoongi does not expect more. For Yoongi, that was the favor. Yeah. But Jimin doesn't know that.
No, his see you around was, yeah, all the obligations are fulfilled, bye.
Exactly. Like, he just wanted to spend time with Jimin.
Oh no.
Like, he likes Jimin. So he was just like, okay, I'm going to take this chance and, like, spend like 1 or 2 hours in his company. And Jimin is like, ah.
Yes, this unmated Omega, I'm just going to spend a couple of hours in his company and, you know, never say anything about anything further. That will make him understand how I feel.
I bought food once, like a snack, and that obviously means something. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like a lot of the next like days go, because like sometimes Yoongi calls upon Jimin, and Jimin's like, okay, this is it, we're doing it now, and nothing really happens. They just hang out, or like he runs around for Yoongi. And Yoongi seems really, really okay with that.
Yeah, well, he must practically feel like they're courting at this point.
Yeah, like he's like, okay, we're getting to know each other. This is great. Yeah. But also, no one really can know about it for reasons that I'm going to reveal later. Yes. So like they spend time very, very far apart. Like it's very obvious for everyone else that it's not really courting, that they're just hanging out with each other in public. But yeah, it's not like obvious courting, but for Yoongi it really means a lot.
I think that's one of my favorite ways you characterize him, though. He will read so much into something and everyone else is just like, yeah, you didn't do shit there. I don't know what you thought you did, but you didn't do shit.
Of this, no, you didn't. But in my head, I didn't know. Yeah. And of course, like Jimin will also tell Taeyang about this, and Taeyang is like, "What?" But he doesn't tell Taeyang what he did to like help him.
Yeah.
Because he knows that Taeyang would never forgive him, like that he offered to let Yoongi do something like that.
Yeah. No, it's just the only person. We're hanging out now. That's a thing.
Yeah, and Taeyang is like, Taeyang really ships it, and he's like, "Oh my god, this is amazing!" And he tells Hoseok about it, and Hoseok is not happy.
I'm guessing
because
of the mysterious argument thing that happened.
Ah, yes, you're guessing right.
Hey.
But no one knows, and Jimin is just like, okay, I don't understand why Hoseok isn't happy. He must know something about Yoongi that I don't know, something really dark and terrible. Yeah. So, like, Jimin has all of that thing in his head, like, where what they're doing is really much worse than what it actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only person who actually knows what Jimin did is Jungkook. Yes, he exists. He's very, very busy being a whore.
Well, I was going to say, he's obviously an Omega.
Yeah, I mean...
Duh.
So, the thing with this fic is that I planned it at the same time as I was writing We're Heading Towards Ruin. And Jungkook in this fic is basically Jungkook in We're Heading Towards Ruin.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, like, he's just, like, hopping from one dig to the other, like, from Namjoon to Seokjin and back, and...
And I'm sure that's why they're on the council, they're just so chill, because it's not like they've got something regular going on either.
Yeah. They're just like, yeah, we totally are down with all of these pack rules that prevent us from going after an unmated Omega. Yes, please don't come into our rooms when we're working.
Don't check.
Yeah, we're just busy teaching the youth and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thing them.
We're teaching them very important youth things.
Exactly, yeah. But Jungkook is kind of like playing them like a fiddle. Like, you know how I said that... you know, they have all of these rings that tell them, like, how much they are worth, so to speak. And Jungkook, like, he got 2 out of each of them. Yeah. He's just like, you know, my family is starving. I don't know what to do. And they're just like, you know, post-orgasm, just take another one.
Whatever you need, man, whatever you need.
Yeah, you're good. So Jungkook doesn't really mind like what Jimin does. Jungkook is just like, yeah, you go live your whore life. I approve. But I didn't really think Yoongi would do something like that. I never saw him like that. Jimin's like, yeah, I know. Me neither, but he's doing, like, he's making me do all of these things. Like, hanging out with him and going to the lake with him and...
carrying stuff. You know,
yes, to his home, but I'm not allowed inside.
And when will he just get to the real favor and stop torturing me?
Yeah, Yoongi thinks, yeah, Yoongi is like, this is going great.
Honestly, I do love it when he's like that, I really do.
Yeah, same. He's just like, you know, he's technically good at emotions, he just thinks everyone can read his mind.
Yeah, absolutely, it's all in there. And, you know, in his head, it's all explained. It's all very easy to understand, but it never comes out of his mouth.
Exactly. He just doesn't talk. Yeah. So maybe Jimin, like, after a few weeks, he's like, yeah, maybe we, maybe I should just do something to show him that I'm ready to fulfill his favor yet. So he just, like, kisses Yoongi.
Nice.
And Yoongi's, like, super confused for a second, and then you're just like, oh, we're at that part yet. Okay, interesting. I'm down for it.
He hadn't realized his courting had got to this part yet.
Yeah, like that Jim is really that interested in him. And Jim is just like, okay, like, this is technically nice because I like him, but this also makes me feel terrible because I'm doing it as a favor and he wants me to do it as a favor and what does that make him?
Yeah.
So he has, like, all of that moral dilemma.
Oh.
Yeah. But I think then it just, like, progresses slowly to, like, them maybe, like, making out. Maybe there's, like a feast. I don't know, like a harvest feast or something. I don't know which season it is.
Well, depends,
I don't know that much.
Depends how long Yoongi's bringing along this courting thing. It could have been months.
True. That would be really cruel. Jimin would be like in a constant state of stress.
I know. I think as well, like, to a moral issue, and like, if Yoongi's making me do this, what kind of person does that make him? I think I can see him, Jimin, also justifying it, being like, we're taking this really slowly. He's given me time to get comfortable around him again. You know, we used to know each other, but we were practically strangers to each other. Now we're starting to get to know each other again. It's not going to be so awkward for me to do this, you know, favor for him. So I can see the conflict there as well in thinking he could be a terrible person, but also he seems to be kind of a nice person.
Like, he's kind of like, not like raping him, but like forcing him to sleep with him, but he's being so nice about it.
Yeah, exactly.
It. Thank you.
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah. Can't believe this. Never expected this. Thank you so much. But at the same time, it makes him feel really good.
Mm.
Like, some part of him really likes the thought of, like, Yoongi wanting him, or, like, being so desirable that Yoongi is forcing him. You know, like, that whole, like, how so many women have, like, rape fantasies.
Yeah.
So, like, that makes him feel a little bit tingly inside, but not, like, too much, because,
no,
it's
the same with, like, any fantasy. The idea of it, when you're in control of that situation, because it's all imagined in your head, it's not the same as if it was to really happen.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, he likes the thought of it, but he still assumes that when it happens, he's going to be, like, it's going to make him feel weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at this point, they're, like, making out sometimes, occasionally, only when Jimin just does it, because Yoongi, I don't know, maybe he gets off on Jimin being the driving force, but he never does it first.
Yeah, he's not the initiator.
Exactly, that was the word I was missing. Thank
I
you.
Know, that's fine.
Yeah, so I think maybe, like, after the harvest feast they do it, I don't know.
Well, it's got to happen at some point, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it has to happen at a point where Jimin still thinks it's all, like, forced, or, like, the favor.
Yeah, it's to balance out what he did.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if I want it to be, like, you know, nice, or if I want it to be, like, hot.
Oh, I think it's one of those things, sometimes when you're writing, you just don't know how the scene's going to come out until you get to that point.
Yeah, that's true.
They're obviously, I think it would be really interesting from a writing perspective, because they're both viewing it in such different ways, to switch points of view. Because for Jimin, it would be fearful. But for Yoongi, it's almost romantic in a way. He feels like there's been a build-up to this. They've developed a relationship. Maybe it's the physical stuff has come along really quickly, but like I say, it's got more of a romantic link to it than him. So you've got this amazing contrast between their two mindsets going into it. So it'd probably be more about the introspective rather than what's physically happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I can also see like Jimin really going for it and really like doing all of these things that maybe Jungkook talked to him about. Like he knows how to do this, and Yoongi's just like really gentle and really kind and just like, you know, we can take our time.
It's, yeah.
Just take it easy. And Jimin's just like,
Jimin's just like, but I heard the pack slap. I know what I'm doing now.
So I think that would also really be interesting, just like to see Yoongi's behavior out of Jimin's perspective. Yeah. Yeah.
I think as well, it would be interesting to have him think about it afterwards as well, to sort of reflect on, be like, actually, he was treating me really gently. What was that about?
Yeah, like, what was the point of that? What did it get him? And then I'm kind of imagining, like, you know, the morning after, maybe Jimin stays over, because he probably doesn't want to, but he's just, like, so knocked out. So he just stays over.
Well, obviously, and if Yoongi tells him to, then is that still part of the favor?
Oh, yeah, like, when does it end?
So if he has said, oh, no, stay, then obviously Jimin, surely he has to.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe Yoongi is just like, you know, he's really, really touchy in the morning. And maybe he also leaves Jimin one or two of his rings.
Oh, God.
Because for him, it's like, oh, yeah, we should probably, like, do, like, I should give him something so that he knows this wasn't just a one-time thing for me and that I wasn't using him. So here, this is like my family thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it. And Jimin is just like, I'm getting paid.
And absolutely. Because for Yoongi, it's like, obviously he's of a higher tier because he's on the council. So he's sort of saying, I want to bring you into, not up to my level, but into, like, say, part of my family. And Jimin's just, complete, like, I've just been paid off. He told me I had to do him a favor, and now he's literally, like, giving me a tip for it.
Yeah. So, like, the favor's over, apparently. And also, I just got paid for having sex. Okay. What does that make me? So he has, like, all of that conflict about that. And then he has to leave because, you know, he has his duties. And he also has to go, like, shopping for his family, like food and stuff. And maybe he uses, like, maybe he puts on one of the rings because two feels a little bit much.
I can imagine that people, especially if you're a grocer, a seller of some sort, you must know what people are entitled to as a rule. You would notice when something changed.
Yeah. So he's definitely getting some looks. Yeah, and then he just brings it home, and his family's like, where are you? And I was like, he's like, I was with, they don't like Taehyung, they don't like Jungkook.
Who was I with? I went out for a long walk on my own with nobody.
In the middle of the night.
I got lost.
Yeah. So he's probably, like, makes up a lie or makes up, like, a random side character. Maybe he stayed with Taemin or something. Who knows? And they're like, okay, why do you have so much good meat? And he's like,
was too swept up in the idea of getting something nice for you. Forgot I was going to have to explain that.
Yeah. So it's just like, they gave it just to me, you know, maybe they like me. And they're like, oh, the grocery store owner likes you. That's good, Jimin. He's unmated. Jimin's like, shit. Yeah. Aww. And I feel like then he's probably like not gonna, like, he's gonna avoid the hell out of Yoongi.
Oh, he's gonna feel terrible.
Yeah. Like, at first, like, Yoongi made him do that. He liked doing it. it kind of made him feel like they were together, but then Yoongi made him do that. And then he got paid for it. And he can never look at Yoongi again. Yeah, I feel like this is the kind of moment where Jimin finds out he's pregnant.
Oh, no! Yeah! I hadn't even anticipated you doing that.
Because I feel like Jimin's such a good Omega, and he's taking such good care of his parents and of his friends, and he's such a good influence on everyone, and then he's the one who gets knocked up outside of making. Yes.
Oh my god. And of course, during this whole time, you've got Yoongi, who's just like, wow, you know, we were courting and then things progressed and we finally slept together. And I get it. He's you know, he's gone a bit quiet for a while. Maybe he's gone to tell his family about it, and you know, he'll come back to me and we'll start getting things organized.
Yeah. But then also that doesn't happen. Like, he doesn't hear from Jimmy at all, and he's like, was he just using me? Oh, that's okay, I guess.
Yeah.
So Yoongi's just like, he's not gonna say anything. Like, he's just gonna be like super quiet. Like, nope, we are not dealing with this emotion.
Well, and again, it comes back to the kind of Omega he is. How, you know, was he using me all along? How did I not see that?
So maybe he also talks to like Namjoon and Seokjin and finds out that Jimin and Jungkook have been talking. Yeah, and like Namjoon and Seokjin are actually very aware of what kind of a whore Jungkook is.
We all are. We love it.
Yeah. So they're like, yeah, maybe Jungkook taught him something, and Yoongi's like, oh, so it wasn't real.
Oh.
Okay. That's okay, I guess. I mean, I'm just me.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jimin has just, like, you know, an existential crisis because he's now pregnant. Yep. And he hasn't told anyone. And I think then he tells Taeyang, and Taeyang is like, what?
Okay, babe.
Yeah.
The interesting part here is then, does he tell Tae he's pregnant and Tae is still shipping it, or does he tell first?
Oh, that's interesting.
Exactly. Because like I say, Tae could be like the driving force in the background. He sort of reflects the readers, because everyone wants to see them have their happy ending, but then he doesn't know the complications of what's happened.
Yeah, I feel like he probably tells Tae he's pregnant.
Yeah.
And then he tells him the rest of the story. And at first, Tae is like, oh my god, that's so amazing. You need to get mated immediately. Yeah. What did he do? Oh my god. Yeah, and then Taeyang can, like, reflect on everything that's happened. Like, you know, maybe Jimin, like, maybe the reader feels a little bit like Jimin romanticized the whole thing a bit in his head. So Taeyang is just like, okay, he made you do this, and he made you do that, and then he made you do this, and this was all one favor, and you, like, what the fuck is wrong with this fucker?
Yeah, like you say, he lays it out from a third person's perspective.
Yeah, and Jimin is just like, oh god, I never thought about it like this. But, you know, he's kind of pretty, like, in love with Yoongi, even though he feels terrible about it. So he's like, shit. What do I do now?
I'm anticipating them having a fight. fight.
So then the door opens and Hoseok comes in, who has been outside the door and kind of like got the end of all of it and now knows what's going on. So Hoseok tells Jimin that Yoongi and him got into a fight. Yeah. When they got intended, because Yoongi didn't want Hoseok to mate Jimin.
Because he liked him.
Because he... Yes! But at the same time, Yoongi told Hoseok that he was never going to mate Jimin.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is where it gets interesting. Because Jimin's like, oh my god, that's so amazing, he likes me! What? Like, what the fuck?
You can't like me but not mate me. That's not fair.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is our society. What am I supposed to do? So I feel like he probably doesn't tell his parents immediately. Mm. But his parents are really into like getting him attended to the to the grocery store.
Well, he's gone and done it now. He's put his foot in it. So
yeah. So Jimin has to like pass a medical exam. He does not pass a medical exam.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so it gets revealed that Jimin is pregnant. Major drama in the whole pack.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And he's still keeping, like, kind of quiet. And maybe Yoongi heard about it, but we don't really know what Yoongi, like, thinks about it because we haven't seen him in a while.
Well, again, for all the stuff that goes on in his head, maybe he's gone and it's someone else's baby.
Yeah. Like, he doesn't know. Did he ever really know Jimin? But then, like, probably with some guidance from, like, the older council members and his parents, Jimin, like, has to admit to who's the sire of his baby. And he tells them it's Yoongi.
Yeah, I bet.
His sire especially is like, I knew he was going to do this. And Jimin's like, what do you mean? Why did you know? And his sire's like, well, when you turned 18... he asked for you.
I wondered if that was why as you were saying it, if that was why he said they would never mate, because he's already been told he can't.
Yes, oh, exactly. Because here's the thing, something that maybe like gets alluded to but never really spoken about is that Yoongi's parents weren't mated. Like he's just, he never was supposed to rise above like a very, very low station. And when he asked for Jimin, he was, like, very low up the hierarchy. Not a good match for him at all. Just had feelings for him. Yeah, and then he just, out of spite, became so important in the pack that he got important enough, like, that he could technically ask again. But he also had his pride, so he didn't want to ask his parents again. But he also, like, got really angry, or, like, not angry, maybe, like, sad and petty. When Hoseok was then supposed to mate.
Yeah, Jimin. Absolutely.
Yeah. So then Jimin is just like sitting there like, what the fuck?
This poor kid.
Yeah. He goes through so many things. And he just like reasons. Okay, so Yoongi likes me. Yoongi made me spend time with him. Yoongi made me have sex with him. Now I'm pregnant.
There was all this
misguided
stuff where he liked me and he didn't ever tell me.
Yeah. And maybe he's also like angry at his parents because like he likes Yoongi, but he also understands like their reasoning because at the time Yoongi really wasn't a good match.
No, but again, at the same time, when he did rise through the ranks and you knew that the person you liked could be a match for you, you'd want to know that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I assume they would then talk about it. Probably. I don't know. Or would they be idiots?
I still want them to have a fight about it. You've got to make that boy say
you can come up with... Yeah, we could do that. Come up with it.
I like to say, I just want you need to be forced to actually say these things out loud because we know everything that's been going on in his head, but it doesn't help if he never says it to anyone. And I think if Jimin's now armed with this information, he can go in and say, well, I know a lot more than you thought I did, and less about things than you thought I did in other respects. Like, why the fuck did you think we were courting? I thought that you were forcing me to spend time with you.
Yeah, I mean, it could also be like, you know, like Jimin like approaches him and he's like, I know you asked for me. You got rejected and then you made me spend time with you.
Yeah, like what petty revenge was that on my parents?
Yeah, like what was that about? And Yoongi's just like, I made you accompany me to the market once. That was it. Everything else was you. What are you talking about?
We're on a date.
And Jimin's just like, what?
Oh god.
So I feel like, you know, Jimin is probably like screaming at him and Yoongi, because Yoongi doesn't like, you know, he doesn't scream, but he's probably like, you know, as far as screaming as he does,
I can sort of picture him sort of like curling in on himself a bit, like sort of getting smaller. He starts to hear things from Jimin's perspective and how bad it looks from that side.
He's just like, what do you mean I made you? I didn't make you do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. It's like I thought you wanted to be there. You know, you liked me to you.
You kissed me. You started to undress yourself. I didn't do it. Oh my God.
Oh, bless miscommunication.
Yes. All of the miscommunication.
I know. It's your jam.
Yes, it's my jam.
So Jimin has a big shouting thing. Yoongi sort of gets to see it from his perspective. Well, I suppose in the end, hopefully they get to see it from each other. That's the point.
Yeah, like at the end, they're probably like, okay, maybe we should just have a conversation next time.
Very, very dramatically, for the sake of our baby, as Jimin puts a hand over his belly.
And Yoongi's just like, Yoongi, you know, he was thinking, like, even, like, he knows now, but in the back of his head, he was like, okay, that's not my baby. What? And then he just, like, totally zones out and just like, what?
It's again, though, it's like a reality check, isn't it? Because it's not just about where they are now. It's about what they're going to do in the future, because there's going to be a baby involved.
Yeah, like, do they even want to be together? Like, does Jimin want to get mated to Yoongi? Yoongi, like, never asked. He just, you know, assumed because of the thing that was happening between them.
Yeah, absolutely. And if, you know, you can tell anything from the progression, I think you can assume that Jimin wouldn't care if he had to raise the baby on his own at this point, because everything he's done has been out the window and against tradition anyway. What would it matter?
Yeah. Like, maybe he would never, like, have a good life, but he would be happy, probably. Yeah, and then Yoongi's probably like, but do you want... Wait, what are you saying? Because, like, he's not sure, like, he can't assume now that Jimin wants to be with him because, you know, he did that, and then it happened. So then, like, Jimin has to put himself out there, and Yoongi has to put himself out there, and that's, like, super scary.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
How many thousand words do you feel like it would take you to get to this point?
Oh God, that's interesting.
Because I can see, like, it's not the same story at all, but you can see a lot of the similarities in sort of like in structure to We're Headed Towards Ruin, I think.
Yeah, it was kind of like a fan fiction or like a brain baby of We're Heading Towards Ruin.
So I think you could probably see it being similar length.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably like 60 to 90, because like technically I think you could probably do it in 30, but you would have to like do all of this build up and all of these dates and like, you know, to really put it out there. But you could probably like do it smaller.
Oh yeah, and especially actors were not as present except when it related to Yoongi and Jimin, if you didn't actually have any side plots.
Yeah, that's it. Like maybe like the Taeyang and Hoseok thing. Like I think it gets resolved very, very early on. Like Taeyang and Hoseok.
Yeah, it's the catalyst for the story.
Yeah, so you don't really need to like have a big side plot with them.
No, you just have to have them dipping in to talk to Jimin, basically.
Yeah, and technically the same could go for Jungkook. The question is if you want him to be like an obvious slut more. Or if he should just, you know, like, come up with his head in between sucking dick and, like, offer advice.
I mean, both options sound good. And I would say that's what side stories are for.
Yeah,
where you then get people commissioning you just to write who, you know, whose dick has he been sucking lately?
Everyone's.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning. I know it's probably obvious to a lot of people who know. If we're calling him names like slut or whore or whatever, it's in a very fond way, and we love to write Jungkook who really enjoys having sex and enjoying his sexuality.
Yeah, like he's very, very in tune with his sexuality and his body and like his needs, and he doesn't shy away from like taking them consensually.
No, like, so I obviously they are offensive words to a lot of people, but I think when we use them we're trying to put an empowered sort of spin on them. Yeah. So it's, you know, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. It's just describing someone who enjoys sex a lot.
Yeah, it's like how, you know, some people say, like, you can't call someone a bitch or you can't call yourself a bitch.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, it's very empowering. Like you're doing great, bitch, or something like that.
Yeah. And again, I was just going to reiterate, because it connects to the disclaimer, the fact that although we might call him those names, it's a fictional character we're referring to, a fictional version of him.
Yeah, like, we're not talking about Jungkook the person, we're talking about Jungkook the character that we're writing.
And again, like I say, the words are being used, nasty spin on them, although some people may have negative feelings towards those words.
Yeah, and maybe, like, someone even uses the words negatively in the fic, like,
yeah,
that's also possible. Like, yeah, but when we're absolutely using them, we're not.
No, when we're talking about it and we're brainstorming about it, like I say, they are words that are just describing the fact that he has a lot of sex. That's not being portrayed in a negative light.
Yeah, like, there's no judgment.
No. We think it's great. So
yeah, he's having
fun. We are kind of judging it in a good way.
True.
I think it's always helpful just to reiterate those things, especially since this is a new thing we're doing and we don't know if people who don't know us so well will know where we're coming from.
Yeah, just imagine if someone just stumbles upon this and, like, has no idea.
Yeah, exactly. And we're just throwing out these names left, right, and center.
Sorry.
We love Jungkook.
Yes, we do. A lot. Him and his tits.
Oh, don't get started. We can be here for a while. That's a whole other story.
Yes, we are not sexualizing my time.
Oh.
I mean, maybe a bit.
Yeah, no. Let's no discourse here. No discourse here.
Yeah, we're not getting into that.
Is there anything else you want to say to wrap it up in regards to your plot idea?
Yeah, I'm thinking, like we were talking about side plots, like, where does Jungkook end up? Or is this just, like, he's just gonna, like, suck two dicks forever?
I suppose, like you say, if you're going into side plots, that depends what Namjoon and Seokjin want, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Would either of them ever want to make him choose, or would they want him to mate, or do any of them feel strongly about mating?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What? If they are already dating, but no one knows. Yeah, and they're kind of like, you don't really, like, maybe they're, like, little hints, but in the end, like, they are stringing him kind of
along. That would be so fun.
Because he's thinking, like, yeah, I've got these two alphas in my pockets, and they're just like, we're telling each other everything, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
That would be brilliant. That would be really fun.
Yeah, so he's just kind of like, you know, I don't know, how do you say it? Like, eating his own, whatever, I don't know. English is failing me.
Always know where your brain is going. Not always.
I know, yeah. But no, they're like kind of, though, like, playing him as well.
Yeah. No, I like that.
Yeah, so maybe they're taking him into their, like, relationship, and then they're going to be poly and happy forever. And everyone else is very shocked.
Well, and again, that could be one of those things where you get the reveal that they're playing him as much as he's playing them. And then it can be up to the reader to decide, well, did Namjoon and Seokjin just stay as a couple, or did they invite Jungkook in? You know, because I think no matter how it ends, they could end it in a way that they'd all be satisfied. Sort of get the impression that they're not overly invested. It would be if you ship it, basically. If you weren't that connected to the ship, it wouldn't matter too much whether they all just went, oh, well, if that's how that was, let's, fine. Everyone's happy, let's move on.
Yeah, that's true.
We can probably always assume that if someone's reading, they're probably shipping it. So they probably want the explicit happy ending.
Probably.
But we don't always have to do that.
Yeah, open endings are good. Like, you can just imagine how it ends. Like, that's also fine. It is not fine looking at comments.
It's a lot harder, I think, when it's a main pairing and you're left with an open ending. Sometimes people
want, oh god, no,
people want to be told, you know, if you're invested in these characters, you want to know what happens. It's very difficult to have someone else present you the whole story and then go, well, how it ends is up to you. It's like, that's not what I'm for. I was here for you to tell me. You've told me this story. Now tell me how it ends, please.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Again, other writer's perspective might be, I want you to make of my story what you want to make of it. Because, you know, we've all got different attitudes.
Yeah, that's true. Like, we all see different things and we all, like, you know, get and want different things out of it. Yeah. Yeah, I think story-wise, that's probably... I feel like, as much as I want, like, the last scene to be, like, something super happy with, like, Yunmin, I feel like it would be super fun if, like, someone younger approaches Jimin, like, as someone who has been through all of that, like, interesting, amazing stuff that he's heard about, who has... problems with an alpha, but, you know, I can never speak to him about it. And that's, like, you know, like the last sentence. And I don't know if that's gonna be like Wooyoung or someone else, but I feel like it would be really cool if, like a new generation of omegas and alphas is already there and, like, not communicating at all with each other.
No, absolutely. And I like those sort of endings as well, because it sort of implies that maybe all the problems these characters have gone through are setting up a better cycle for the next lot. It sort of moved their society, their culture, onto a more positive path.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I like that. It just shows, like, even in their lifetime, like, it has been, like, 2 hours. and maybe it's already getting better because they're all evolving and stuff.
Yeah, that's really positive, and that's a really nice way to leave it.
Yeah, I think so too. But what was your favorite part of it?
Oh, God. I probably, because I've reiterated it just while we've been talking, I think it's the whole Yoongi having everything, like, it's all working perfectly in his head. And, it, you know, the whole version of what he thinks is going on being so different to the reality. I love that.
Yeah, same. Like, that's absolutely my favorite part as well. Well, like of course, like, we already know it, but just imagine writing that and, like, having the readers.
He's not a bad person. He's just so misguided.
Yeah, and people would get so frustrated. Mm. And I would love that.
Yeah, I think it's really funny as well that we both find that our favorite part. But I don't know, that's... sometimes we gel on, like you say, the way we present characters, and that's why we like each other's writing.
Exactly. But could you see yourself writing it?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I don't think so, because when you talk about sort of having to develop the relationship and have them go on dates and stuff like that, that's one of the things that I feel like I fall down on, like, sort of the in-between and the development. I always fear that when I'm writing it in anything, trying to get sort of what I'd call the quiet moments.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think I struggle to things gradually. I'm more into the big explosive moments.
Yeah, I get that. I think you would do really well with the humor.
Oh.
I feel like you could express that really well. Like, thinking about good friends and all.
Oh, well, I'm for that one now, aren't I? So, but and again, I do miss writing humor, so that is definitely something I want to get back to.
Yeah, and I feel like at the core, like, even though, like, the whole fic is, like, maybe also about, like, communication and consent and, like, first loves and all, it is a very humorous thing. Like, in the end, if you look back on it,
you could say that, but you're like the queen of angst. So your idea of what's humorous is probably making someone else sit there and cry.
Yeah, okay, I mean, kinda. But I think, like, I feel like this, if I imagine that I would read this fic, I think I would like to reread it with the whole, like, with the knowledge. And I think then all of the scenes would be so hilarious.
Like you say, and going back and reading it would be a completely different experience.
Yeah, I think that would be so fun. I mean, I love rereading stuff like after finding out like all the clues that I missed.
Oh, gotcha. Absolutely. I like reading back on my own stuff and realizing I've put hints in I never even noticed I put in.
Oh my God, I did. I had that so much, and we're heading towards ruin where someone was like, oh my God, yeah, I'm seeing this. And I was like, wow, that's genius. When did I put that in?
I think it's because in our heads, we know what's going to happen. Maybe things come out unconsciously.
I think when you're like, you're putting the words there and you don't just put them there without reason. Like, you think about why you're using that word and why that and that is happening, and in your mind, you know what's happening next, of course.
That's another thing that's just, I think, general good writing advice. Like, say, have a reason for the words you're writing. Don't just waffle for the sake of waffling and padding out your word count. You know, they have to have a purpose.
Yeah. I think there was that tweet the other day where someone was like, is the scene necessary? Does it make me horny? Then yes. And like in general, I agree with that, because like, is the scene necessary? Does it bring the plot along, do something to the characters' relationships, or provide like exposition or something? And if none of these is like true, then no, the scene is not necessary.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to actively move the plot along, but it has to provide you with some new information to the story.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're padding out your word count, basically.
Exactly. And like, there's no reason for that.
No, because, you know, length is not an indication of quality. Every word is meaningful, then it takes as many words as it takes. That might be 500, it might be 5,000, it might be 50,000. As long as they're meaningful.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you think we're all ideaed out now?
I think so, yes. Like, I'm just thinking if there was anything else I had to say about that.
Oh,
that
absolutely. Fic,
but I don't think so. Like, it's been 2 years since I thought it up. And I think I have like 2,000 words of it written, and I will never write it. Like, I know that I'm never going to write it, because as funny as it is, it's just not that interesting to me anymore. Like, it was supposed to be my first big like alpha unific, as I said, but again, I'm past that.
Well, if it doesn't have that meaning, it's not that it's not as important, but it doesn't have the impact that it would have had for you writing it.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, in the end, a story that I came up with to write for the Big Bang, which then didn't happen.
Oh, I know. I suppose the only other thing to ask is, has anything come up during discussing it that surprised you?
Oh, that surprised me.
Because you had the whole plot from beginning to end devised, but, you know, talking about the side characters and things like that, thing that you wouldn't necessarily come up with on your own?
I mean, I feel like the general feeling a lot, like, because for me, when I was thinking about it, I guess it was more angsty in my head, because I was like thinking about like Jimin having all of those thoughts, like how horrible all of this is. But in the end, it was super funny. And I feel like we definitely like changed the tone of the fic in a way that I imagined it previously.
Well, that's clearly my influence, because like you say, I've got the more of the humor angle, and you're the queen of angst.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll find that as we do this, things will be a combination of both.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Maybe you're bringing something humorous to the table, and then we'll just make everyone cry.
Oh, that would be great fun next time.
Bad.
Oh, well, at least they're pre-warned.
Yeah, you can always expect that.
Expect us to start out with angst and make it funny, or expect us to start out with something funny and make you cry.
Like, the best kind of thing.
It's all about the journey.
Well, and there we go. We hope you liked this excursion into our brain. If you did, please subscribe to the podcast, because we intend to do this quite regularly, maybe or hopefully with the occasional guest.
If you have any ideas that you want us to talk about, please don't hesitate to message us on Twitter about it. And if you're here to help tell us fanfiction is disgusting, then we can't help you. We're just out here having fun. We hope you did as well, and we will see you next time. So it's bye from Em.
And from Anna.
Bye.
Bye. know, the funniest thing, like whenever I look at, you know, hello everyone, welcome to the Unwritten, a BTS fanfiction podcast, I want to say an interactive BTS fanfiction podcast. And I don't know why.
Maybe you just want it to be. Is that your aspiration?
Maybe I just want it to be.
In the future, you want to do it live.
Oh my God, no. God, imagine doing
everyone
it live.
Leaving their horrid comments.
Yeah.
Telling us how to write our unwritten stories. They'd be like, oh, you should put this in. You should put Jikook in.
Yeah, make a Jikook.
I'd just be like, there's this pairing name that keeps coming up and I can't read. I've lost the ability to read.
Yeah, I know.